It's a blessing to be here this morning, and today, as far as our message, we're going to take a brief look at a selfish man. Sometimes I guess I could just hold up a mirror and look at myself. A brief look at a selfish man. You see, no one is exempt from being selfish. We're all suspect to stubbornly wanting our own way. I guess it doesn't matter who we are. We can all say, I want this no matter what. You know, when we think of selfishness, we often think of children that won't share their toys. You could probably go back in the nursery this morning. I can say this because I know one of my sons is back there, and I can guarantee if he wants something, he's going to go after it. No matter if anyone else has it or not, he wants it, he's going to go get it. And he's going to hold on to it no matter if anyone else wants it or not. But as adults, we can be selfish as well. You know, think of children with toys. But you know, as adults, I read where some man said, you know, we just have bigger and larger toys as we get older. And we can be selfish with those things as well. We can also be selfish with our talents and gifts that God has given to us. Or we can be selfish with just our personal wants and our desires. Just what we want in life. We can be selfish. Today, I want to talk about Jonah. Jonah chapter 4. If you have your Bibles this morning, Jonah chapter 4. I believe we often look to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Even though it's only four chapters, you'll find many people bring messages on that book. You'll find all kinds of Bible studies on the book of Jonah. We probably go to the book of Jonah often because we can relate to Jonah. We can relate to wanting our own way and relate to being stubborn instead of submitting our will to God. So today we're going to talk about Jonah. Now Jonah was a prophet. He was a man of God. I believe he loved God and I believe he loved Israel. But as we'll see this morning, he acted in a selfish way. And I believe that we will see that Jonah's selfish spirit, the title of this message this morning is Jonah's selfish spirit. I believe we'll see that his selfish spirit hindered his service to God, and really, it hurt his relationship with the Lord. This morning, we're going to focus on the effects of selfishness. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us. I pray this morning as we look at this passage concerning Jonah, I pray that we can learn from in this case, from his mistake, we can learn from his attitude towards you, and I pray that we can apply the teachings here to our life. We ask that you guide and direct in this message, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you 3 points this morning, taken directly here from Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And the first thing I want you to notice is that Jonah was exceedingly displeased. Basically, we're going to see his selfish motives, really, right here. He was irked. He was upset. He just wasn't happy. That word displeased means to be unhappy, discontent. The reason why he was unhappy is because he didn't like what was taking place there in the city of Nineveh. Now I'm going to give you just a quick recap because I know we haven't taken this series in order or anything like that. But for those that, just to get us a refresher of what's going on here in this book. Chapter 1, we find Jonah running away from God. God gave Jonah some directions to go to Nineveh, to tell the city to repent, or else in 40 days they would face God's judgment. Bible tells us that Jonah fled. Here in this passage we get an idea of why he fled. Because he knew God would forgive if they sought God's forgiveness. And so he ran. He left for Tarshish, went the other direction, did not want to do God's will. And then in chapter 2 we find that Jonah ran to God. I tell you what, God allowed things to transpire so Jonah was miserable. He was miserable in the belly of that whale, belly of that fish, going up and down. And I've often wondered if the Lord just allowed that fish to take off. We know it was in the Mediterranean. I wonder if the Lord just said, go ahead, go wherever you want, while Jonah was in there. And up and down and all over. Bible says he was just miserable in there. There for 3 days, 3 nights. Anyway, you read chapter 2, you find he got some things right with God. You see, God can slow us down. God can allow us to face some difficulties. So we seek Him out and we get some things settled and get some things right. I guess get our priorities straight. And then in chapter 3, you know what we find? We find Jonah running with God. I'm going to tell you, this is probably the best chapter. Jonah chapter 3, he's faithful. He's doing what God wants him to do. He's living for the Lord. He's there in Nineveh. He's proclaiming God's message. And he's really doing what God wants him to do. And that leads us to chapter 4. Because at the end of chapter 3, what took place is the people heard the message and they responded. They heard that God was upset and angry and that God was going to bring judgment upon them. And so what did they do? The Bible tells us that they sought God's mercy. They wanted to get right with God. And so they responded to the message. And the Bible says that God displayed His mercy and His forgiveness and was not going to send the judgment down upon Nineveh. And so the city was blessed. And that leads us to chapter 4 where it says there, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Now what would make him mad and upset at this time? I tell you, you think about it. I was reading, one man said, this is probably the greatest revival, maybe even the greatest revival in the entire Bible. I mean, we see all these people, this entire city, coming to God. And here, God's man is displeased and he's very angry at what is happening. You see, the people humbly looked to God, and Jonah did not expect that. I don't think Jonah wanted it. He didn't think that was going to take place. He probably believed that they deserved punishment. Now, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And at this time, the Assyrian Empire and the Israelites, they didn't get along. The Israelites viewed them as an enemy. So I imagine Jonah probably thought, hey, they deserve punishment. These are wicked people, God. They have fought against us. They have given us a difficult time. They have killed some of our people. We've been at war with them. They want to conquer us. And so I imagine he may have thought, you know, they don't deserve any kind of blessings. They deserve to have a quick and swift, I guess, a judgment come from God. And so when that didn't happen, he was probably a little bit upset that God would not bring the judgment that God had for him. You know, in Psalm 103, verse 8, it says that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. You see, with men, I think it's opposite. It could probably read, for men and women, it could probably read that men and women are quick to anger and selfish or stingy with mercy. We get mad fast, and we want people to pay the price. Whether they deserve it or not, sometimes if we get so mad and angry, we think they deserve it. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 9, because I just want to show you that Jonah was not the only man of God that I guess you say was a little bit quick to anger. Luke chapter 9. This is probably one of those passages that James and John wished was not recorded in Scriptures, but God has given it to us anyway. Luke chapter 9, look what it says in verse 51. It says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit ye are of." Notice this here, James and John, two men that, well, they're apostles, called of God. And when they see the people, the Samaritans here, not, say, cordially accept Christ, what do they want to do? They don't want to just forgive them and move on. They say, God, you want us to send fire and brimstone down here and consume them? In other words, God, you want us to wipe them out? So they knew God had power. They knew God had power to bring judgment, and that God could give them that power if He chose to. And so they asked that. You see, once again, we see an example of people, mankind, who are slow to mercy, but quick to anger. We get upset and angry. That's what happened to Jonah. We'll get back to our text. Jonah had selfish reasons for his displeasure. Basically, he did not get his way. That's why we become selfish. We don't get our way. And he did not receive what he wanted to receive. He didn't see that city go up in smoke, so to speak. He didn't see God come down and bring judgment upon the Ninevites. You see, he was displeased because he didn't have his way. And often in life, that's why we are displeased. That's why we get upset, or that's what makes us, I guess, say, angry. It's because we don't get our way. I'm going to give you some thoughts here. When our plans are changed, sometimes, you know, we look forward to something and we expect something to happen and we're really excited for the future or for this big event. And then when things get changed, we're displeased. Maybe get upset a little bit irked. Or how about when our desires are unfulfilled? You know, we really want something. Deeply want something to happen, maybe for this reason or for that reason, a known reason or unknown. And then It doesn't happen. It's out of our grasp. We can't get what we want. Then we can become displeased. Now, displeasure is not always a problem. Now, with Jonah, it was because he was selfish. But, you know, that's part of life sometimes. You know, we don't always get what we want. We don't always get our way. I think most of you probably realize that now. There are a lot of things we don't have. But you see, that's not necessarily a problem. The problem comes, I guess, on how we handle that or how we deal with that. As far as Jonah, think on this. The Bible says he was displeased. We'll see he went to God in prayer here in a minute, but he did not seek God's strength or God's power or God's direction. We're going to see here in a minute that he had a bitter prayer towards God. But you see, how we deal with being let down or displeased is important. Had Jonah taken this to God, had Jonah went to God and trusted God and said, God, I believe you know best. I believe they deserved it, but God, you've forgiven them, so I'm going to just trust you in the matter. I believe things would have been all right. God probably would have continued to bless Jonah and Jonah would have continued on. Instead, you know what Jonah did? He just held on to it. Man, he couldn't let it go. Have you ever had that in your life? You have something that just you hold on to? You know you need to give it to God. You know you need to settle it, but you, for whatever reason, you hold on to it. That's what happened to Jonah. He just couldn't let this go. He was displeased, and he could not let go of this. So the Bible says he grieved in his soul. Here in a little bit, it talks about him grieving in his soul. Now think about this. He was so mad and angry that it just began to consume him. Why? Because his desires were unfulfilled. He was not pleased with what was happening. Now, it's just basically a self-centered attitude is what we find with Jonah. He just got angry because he didn't get his way, and he failed to trust in God. Now, that leads me to my second point. Notice it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And then it says that he was very angry. You ever see dominoes? You set up a set of dominoes, and you knock one down, and the rest go down. I believe that's what we find here. He was displeased. He held on to it. And what happens next? We see some anger now. He's no longer irked. Now he's mad. I imagine as he went up on this hill and he began to look down upon the city. Some believe he went up on that hill to watch the city go up in flames, so to speak, just to be taken care of. And as he goes up there and things don't happen the way he thought they were going to happen, he begins to get displeased. Maybe he thought, well, God will take care of it here in a few hours or maybe tomorrow. And then he began to realize that, hey, God had forgiven him. The city was going to move forward with God's blessings. He began to get angry. He did not get his way, and then anger settled into his heart. Now, there's nothing wrong with anger. Bible tells us in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, that Jesus was angered because of the unbelief of the Pharisees. So we know our Lord and Savior was angered on earth several times. So there's nothing wrong with anger. The motive behind the anger is what's important. I can say, what causes us to be angry? Why are we angry? Now, Jonah's anger was because of his selfish desires. He didn't get his way. He didn't get what he wanted, and so he became angry. And next, you know what he did? He allowed this anger to dictate his decision-making. That's what we need to be careful of. Allowing our emotions to dictate our decisions. You know, a lot of people have gotten in trouble because of emotional decisions. They whether it's anger, whether it's depression, whether it's joy even. Sometimes we can say some things or do some things that we wouldn't say if we weren't so emotionally, I guess, say, overcome. And here in this case, his anger now, I think he lost control, really, of his emotions and lost control of his spirit, so to speak, and he stopped serving God. Bible tells us he went up there, just sat down, and he quit. He no longer desired to serve God. He didn't want to see God's work in the city. I tell you, you read this, you would think he'd want to be down there. Now this morning, I tell you, if God would send a revival in this city, and we saw the whole city turn to Christ, and I'm not just talking about going to church. I'm talking about separating from sin, becoming saved and living for God. You would think we'd be excited and want to be part of that and see that happen. Jonah here, the entire city is getting things right with God and he's up on the hill. He didn't want to be part of that. He didn't want to even see it happen. And so he removed himself from God's work. See, selfishness will do that. We get so caught up on thinking of how we've been done wrong or how things are not right. And next thing you know, we can remove ourselves from spiritual work and serving God. And if we're not careful, some people don't go to church faithful because they've allowed that to settle in their heart. And that's what happened here with Jonah. He no longer looked to follow God's leading. He wasn't even looking to God to lead. He was upset and angry. And his anger controlled him. He became selfish or acted in a selfish way. Proverbs 25, verse 28. I'll just read it to you this morning if you want to write this down. It says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." You know, the Bible teaches we should have some self-control. We should be able to control our emotions. Now, we are emotional people. God has made us that way. There's nothing wrong with getting angry or happy or sad or even at times being discouraged because something has happened. God has made us with all those emotions. I believe it's important to have control over those, though. And of course, the key is allowing the Spirit to lead in our life. If you're saved, the Spirit dwells within you. Allow the Spirit to lead, and we'll have control over our emotions. I was reading an interesting story on Dwight Eisenhower, former Commander-in-Chief of World War II and President of the United States. At the age of 10, his parents did not allow him to go with his older brothers because they said he was too young. Maybe some of you can relate to that. Well, according to the story, he went outside in his yard. He was so mad, he began to punch their apple tree. And he punched it until his hands were just a bleeding mess. And his dad had to go out there, grab him by the shoulders, and literally carry him back inside. He was just so furious that he couldn't go. He's 10 years old, and he took him back inside, took him up to his room. And there, his mom went up to him, and she found him, hands a bleeding mess, just sobbing in his pillow because he couldn't get his way. And so she began to of course, like a mom would, take care of his hands and begin to bandage them up. And as she was bandaging them up, she began to tell him, and here's what she said. She said, "He that conquereth his own soul is greater than he who taketh a city." She basically paraphrased what the Bible said there. And she continued to tell him or teach him how futile it was and how self-destructive it would be if he didn't control his anger in life. That if he couldn't control that, he would get nowhere. Well, anyway, years later, several years later, Dwight Eisenhower wrote in his journal, he says, "I have always looked back on that conversation as one of the most valuable moments of my life." You see, loved ones, he was taught at an early age to have control over his emotions, especially his anger. It's important that we control that and just don't react and get angry. Jonah here had no control over that. He was angry. I mean, he was mad. So he just sat down, he quit. He was so absorbed with his displeasure that he became angry. And you know what he failed to do? He failed to recognize a few things. He failed to recognize God's blessings that was taking place in the city. He failed to recognize God's authority over his life and over the whole situation because he was just so wrapped up in himself, wrapped up in not getting his way. All that mattered to Jonah was not getting what he wanted. I guess you could say he was acting like a child. We all would probably be lying if we didn't say at times we didn't do the same thing. But he forgot that God was in control. And really, he should have been thankful that God was using him to begin with. Basically, Jonah was angry, I think, because he was discontent. He didn't like what God was giving. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. And we just see this. This is a popular passage because it's a good passage on contentment. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll read here what Paul had to say about being content. Philippians 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 10. It says there, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you all were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and," he says, "to suffer need." You see, what we find in this passage is that Paul, as he says there, he learned to be content. I think it's important that we don't forget that word "learned" is put before content. We need to learn to be content. You know, there are going to be times where we're going to want something or desire something or be discouraged because we didn't get that. We just need to learn to be content and trust in God. Basically, content with God's leading and God's direction in our life. Jonah was discontent because of God's work in Nineveh. He was unhappy because of what God was doing. You know, a good question here is, who was Jonah? Who was Jonah to be upset at what God did? I mean, Jonah's just a man. God's Almighty God, the Creator of the world. Who was he to be upset at God's choices and at God's work? I guess we can apply that to our lives today. Who are we to be angered at what God does? This morning, who are we to be upset at God's direction in our life, or if he allows something in our life that's out of our control? Now, I'm not talking about sin. You know, a lot of our problems come because of our own actions. But if God has allowed something in your life that is out of your control, even if it's a difficulty, who are we to be mad at God about it? God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And God allowed that for a reason. And we just need to trust in him. I guess we need to learn to be content, satisfied with God's work in and around us. Let's go back to our passage. We're going to look at the third point real quick this morning. It says, but it displeased Jonah, verse 1, exceedingly. And then secondly, it says, and he was very angry. And then verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled from before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So what we find in this next point here is Jonah expressed his anger to God. I mean, I think he's sitting there stewing. He's mad. He went from being irked to angry, and he's sitting there stewing. Now he's got to say something. He's just had enough. And so he gives God a selfish explanation. At least he prayed to God. I guess we can give him that. At least he prayed to God. You know, some people get so mad at God, they won't even talk to him. But at least Jonah acknowledged God, recognized that God was still God Almighty, and he prayed to God. Sadly, his prayer was anything but godly. It was really a self-centered and bitter prayer. He was mad. You know, sometimes it's good that God does not give us or grant us our will. You know, we think we know everything sometimes, and we pray these prayers and say, God, give me this or give me that, and I'll do this or I'll do that sometimes. You know, it's good that God is in control. Look at this situation. I mean, we're not going to get into the details of his request in verse 3 this morning. We don't have time, but I tell you, his request was a foolish request. And it's good that God did not grant him his will. It's good that God is patient with us and merciful. And here, he just, out of anger, he made a selfish request. Really, he made an unwise decision because he was angry. And this was made because of his displeasure, his selfish motive, and because of his anger, his selfish attitude. See, selfishness will just take over if we're not careful, lead in our decisions and even our requests, and even in this case, our prayers to God. Let's be careful of allowing selfishness in. And I guess you say, be careful of anger. I was reading a story about a man who made an unwise choice because of his anger. His name was Steve Tron, or Tran, I'm not real sure of the pronunciation. This was in the Arizona Republic paper in 1995. He was from Westminster, California, and he was tired of all the cockroaches in his apartment. Maybe some can relate to that. So he decided he was going to get rid of them once and for all. And he went and got 25 bug bombs. And he was going to set them all off, even though on the package it says you're only supposed to use 2 at a time. So he put them around his apartment, and he set off 25 bug bombs. And then he closed the door and he left. That's a good thing, because once the fumes reached the pilot light of his stove, it created an explosion, it says, that sent his screen doors across the street into the neighbor's yard, busted all of his windows, and amounted to over $10,000 worth of damage. In the article, Steve said, I really wanted to kill all of them. Obviously, he was angry, he was mad. He said, I thought if I used a lot more, it would last longer. At the end of the article, it said a week later, while he was cleaning, he found more cockroaches. So, his anger did not work. I tell you, we can make some decisions, unwise choices, when we become selfish and we allow anger or emotions to control us. And that's what happened to this man here. And if we go back and we look at Jonah, that prayer he made, really, you look at it, he blamed God in that prayer. A few things here. He understood God. I mean, I tell you, he's a prophet. He knew the scriptures. He was a man of God. He understood God. What I mean by that is he knew that God was gracious. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God was almighty. He knew that God would and could forgive those that sought his forgiveness. He knew all of that. And so Jonah explained to God, he basically said, God, this is why I ran. Now you know why I didn't want to come here. Because I knew you would forgive them and they deserve to face your judgment and your punishment. And so he was angry because God had shown himself merciful to Nineveh. You know, you read that passage, we find his anger was not aimed at the Ninevites. He wasn't angry at the people of Nineveh for repenting. He wasn't angry at them for seeking forgiveness. He was angered at God for forgiving them and showing them mercy. That's what made him mad. So he was selfish. And his anger was because they were forgiven. You know, I think it's interesting is he ran earlier because he knew God would show the people mercy. And what happened? God showed Jonah mercy. And Jonah, in turn, did not want to have those people receive God's mercy, the same mercy that he received. You see that selfishness. When we get so caught up in ourselves, we don't want to see other people blessed the same way God has blessed us. It's believed by many that Jonah was also angry, and this is a possibility here. I guess this touches a little bit of pride. He was also angry because the message, now keep in mind, he was a prophet. And prophets, I tell you what, when they delivered a message from God, that was a great blessing for them. Some believe he may have been angry because his prophecy that he delivered, as far as if they didn't repent, he was hoping or expecting that to take place, but when God forgave him, and there was no judgment to come. And some believe he was angry because as a prophet, his prophecy, in a way, it came to pass, but not the way he thought it would. And so that's why he was displeased and became selfish and filled with pride. You know, I think Jonah really wanted to serve God. You read the book of Jonah, and he's even mentioned in the book of Kings. He really wanted to serve God. He was a prophet. I mean, he was called to God. He loved his country. I believe he loved God. And I believe he wanted to be faithful to God. But he seemed more concerned with his service, or with, I guess you could say, his personal prejudices, than he was with serving God. You know, it's good to serve God. It is. We should do the Lord's work. But we always should keep in mind that it's His work. It is. It's not ours. I mean, we should just be thankful to be part of it. It's not up to us to decide how a church is going to, you know, who's going to join the church, who's going to be saved. It's up to us. God has told us to take the gospel out to all who would hear. And then allow Him to work in the hearts and the lives. You see, it's up to us to do our responsibility, but it's up to God to direct. And if God should move us in life, that's His choice. We should be thankful that God would choose to get involved. Or if God would bless us in one way or another, that's His choice as well. Or if God would delay blessings for some reason and want us to wait on something, we should be content with God's will. You know, I guess more than anything else, it's just important for us to submit our will to God. Say, "Your will, God, not mine." And that'll help with selfishness when we begin to submit our will to God and look to Him. You know, in closing this morning, Joseph acted in a selfish manner. Or Jonah, excuse me, wrong one. Jonah acted in a selfish manner. He was displeased because things did not go his way and he failed to trust God with the matter. His displeasure turned to anger. I mean, it just rapidly. It was from being irked to being mad. And then instead of seeking God's forgiveness or even God's help, you know, that's important. He didn't seek God's forgiveness. He didn't pray for God's strength or for God's help. Instead, he expressed his anger to God. And in a sense, he blamed God for his problems and said, "God, this is why I didn't do this. This is why I didn't do that." And so we have an example of a selfish man. Now, that's just one bit. What I mean by that is, let's not forget, he was a prophet. God blessed him in many ways. So I don't want to just pick on Jonah here. I believe if we would look at our own lives, there are times when we've been selfish as well. But we can learn from Jonah as far as this situation here. And hopefully we'll be able to put away our selfishness and our pride. And we will seek God. You know, today, this morning, there are many men and women who do not have a good relationship with God. Some have no relationship with God at all. And often the problem is selfishness. There are many who never seek God's salvation through Jesus Christ because they are selfish. Some want to continue in their sin. They just don't want to be saved. They would rather live in sin instead of seeking God's forgiveness and getting things right with God. And then you have some who would rather find redemption, I say quote unquote, in their own way. What I mean by that is they don't want to come through Jesus Christ. They want to come in their own way, produce their own works, or do their own thing. You know, you go back to the Old Testament, we find that was the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel went in God in his way, and Cain went in his own personal way. And Abel was accepted, and Cain's offering was not. You see, there are many who are selfish because they want to do things their way and approach God their way. And so you have people in this world that remain without God. This morning, I just want to ask you to examine your heart. Make sure you're saved, that you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. Bible tells us in John 14:6, Jesus Christ Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If we're going to get to God the Father, we have to come through Jesus Christ. We have to trust in Him as our Savior, put our faith in Him, not in someone else or anything else. So just to encourage you this morning to examine your heart. If you're here this morning, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, it's not too late. You can be saved. You can put your faith in Christ and you can know God's saving power this morning. But you know, afterwards, once you're saved, you know, as believers, we often struggle because of selfish attitude. It's easy to allow selfishness to come into our life. And if we're not careful, we can make decisions or we can have actions based on our selfish attitude. So this morning, I hope we can learn from Jonah. If we find selfishness in our life, maybe during this time of prayer, maybe you just need to ask God if there is a selfish attitude in any way. And if there is, we just need to seek God's forgiveness, put that aside, and look to God and be content with His direction in our life and be content as He leads our life. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You've given. I thank You for each one that has come out. And this morning as we looked at this passage here in Jonah, I pray that it can just be a reminder to us of how important it is for us to seek Your will and to trust in You in all areas of our life. We thank You for the blessings that You provided. And as we have this invitation, I pray that if You've worked in anyone's heart in any way, I pray they will take the matter to You this morning in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just a few minutes. The piano is going to play this morning. And as we have this invitation, this is just a time, if God has worked in your heart in any way, where you can take a few moments to seek Him in prayer. You're more than welcome to come down here and pray this morning, or you can pray right where you are. But if God has worked in your heart, I encourage you to seek Him out in prayer. If there is one here this morning that is unsure of their salvation, perhaps you have some questions. You'd like to know more about salvation. If that's the case, I encourage you to, you can come down this morning and someone can take the Bible and can help you as far as understanding what the Bible teaches concerning salvation.